Tired of paying rent to your landlord every month? At 751 Avoca, you have the chance to own and customize 4,000 square feet of flexible office space. With four separate entrances, you can even lease out part of the building and become the landlord yourself. This property is ADA compliant with high-tech systems. There's ample off-street parking and room to expand, just one block off Coffeen. It's the perfect location for medical, dental, therapy, or professional offices. Call Amity Allman with 307 Real Estate at 307-683-6673 or on the web at amityallmanhomes.com.
Public Seminar Estate Planning. Sheridan and Johnson County Estate Planning lawyers are pleased to present a seminar on estate planning. The seminar is free to the public and is applicable to adults of all ages. The seminar will be held Saturday, October 4th, beginning at 9 a.m. at the Hub on Smith. Refreshments will be served during the breaks and lunch will be served at noon. Sponsored by A&B Bank, Bank of Buffalo and Sheridan, Cowboy State Bank, First Federal Bank, First Northern Bank, Sheridan Community Credit Union, the Sheridan Press, and Sheridan Media. Look for the ad in the Country Bounty for details.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Monday, September 29th. And from Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, I am joined by At Ease Horsemanship founder Mattson Tu and program graduate and peer support mentor Gabriel Larson. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Morning.
Now, Mattson, for listeners who may not be familiar, what is At Ease Horsemanship, and what's the mission behind what you're doing up there?
Yeah, I appreciate that, Floyd. I'll be as concise as I can. Our mission as a brand new nonprofit organization in Sheridan is to create transformative experiences for trauma survivors. And in general, people that are struggling with traumatic disturbances. Most of us think of veterans and first responders, but we, in addition to that, we help normal people that are just dealing with life's disruptions. And we try to open up experiences for them. Our core has always been the horse, but just having completed our second season, we've added a bunch of other programming that we'll probably talk about at some other time, because today we're here to talk about experiences with the horse. But what we're really looking for is helping survivors along their pathway to awareness. A lot of us carry trauma without being aware. Relationship. We all need relationship and recovery. And that's our mission that has been driving us since early 2024.
What inspired the creation of this 501c3?
It's an awesome question, and I think that that's what we're going to get into today. The inspiration really comes from some of my own personal traumas and journeys through that. My love of the horse in general, the love of the Mustang, and the wilderness.
Yeah.
And that's inspired the platform of this organization, from which many other modalities have grown. But we'll speak to the other inspirations with what Gabriel has to share.
You know, I'm glad you brought up the wilderness, because that's a unique place to undergo any kind of counseling in any
yes,
way,
sir.
Right? Being out there among the trees, and a lot of people think it's silent, but it's not. It's one of the loudest places in the world to stand out there in the forest and just sit and listen. But it's a different kind of loud. It's definitely not city loud. Gabriel, where were you born?
I was born in Cheyenne.
Cheyenne.
Yeah.
I lived there for a couple of years up on Van Buren.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What, did you serve in the military?
I never did. No.
You never did. So when you saw At Ease Horsemanship, where were you at in your life when you learned about this unique therapy?
Well, that's an interesting question. I affectionately refer to myself as Patient Zero, because I found the program before it was a program. I met this guy haphazardly, randomly, at a very strange place in my life. I wasn't in a great spot,
yeah.
And to put it succinctly, everything I had ever worked for in my life had fallen apart pretty dramatically. And in light of that, I had made a lot of terrible decisions, as you do. And I was just a guy desperately trying to stay sober and figure out what to do. And I had been fortunate enough to fall into the world of horses right before I met him. And my experience with Addie's horsemanship was just really my experience with one horse.
Yeah.
And Mattson introduced me to that horse, and I knew nothing about it. I didn't even understand why this guy who I had known for no time at all, I was getting to know Mattson, but he seemed convinced that it would be good for me to learn about wild horses, and he was right. And so what drew me to it was simply that horse, yeah. this strange experience I had being put in a round pen with a wild animal. I didn't know anything about myself, and I had nothing going for me in my own estimation, but my relationship with that animal became very important to me, and it became the lens through which I saw myself everywhere else too.
Wow.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. That's a great way to say it, actually. That's amazing.
Yeah.
For a lot of individuals out there who may not have had to experience this, those first couple of weeks of sobriety are so hard.
Mm-hmm.
I've been sober for over 10 years now.
Wow.
And my rock bottom, the weeks that followed after when I made the decision, right? Where you're like, okay, I'm going to live and I'm going to try and live better. A lot of people don't realize that seems so alien in a way. And you know, a lot of people believe that rock bottom is the place to really begin. And I would say yes, because you have nothing left.
Absolutely.
Nothing left to lose at all.
Mm-hmm.
So you might as well give something a shot, right?
Yes.
I got an interesting perspective on that. When we met, ironically, we were in a bar.
Yeah.
Gabriel's a pretty renowned musician, and he was playing in September, right around this time of year, 3 years ago. And I had come down from the mountains where I was working, taking care of cow-calf pairs, and I had just bought this Mustang at a prison in Riverton that was trained by prisoners, and it was just barely trained.
And green broke, right?
Green broke. Mm-hmm. And so we have these funny different iterations of this story. Whenever he plays live and I'm there, he'll tell his version, and every now and then I get to tell mine. And I'm not going to tell my version, but granted, what happened was the magic of the horse. And like, horses come into our lives. And if you're really connected, like you just mentioned with the wilderness and how loud it can be, you hear that magnitude if you're connected, because it impacts every cell in your body.
Yeah.
And especially when you're off the grid for a while by yourself is even better. The horses do the same thing, and particularly Mustangs, because for those of us that are trauma survivors, like the three of us at this table, they're wired the same way. They are a complete traumatized brain animal. Flight. They're always looking for the way out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when I saw this guy, I knew him because he has a presence on YouTube and such, and he's well known. I knew him and I saw him and something was different. And I had just gotten this horse and he wasn't for me. I quickly figured out he wasn't for me, but I knew I had him for a reason. And the magic of all of this is it was for Gabriel. This horse has changed his life.
Yeah.
And now he's changing a lot of people's lives because we've built this programming around what happened. You know, and I had experience working in equine therapy before that and knew the magic, but I had never seen it like this with trauma to trauma.
A whole new level.
Whole new level. And then when you're incorporating the wilderness all around us and we're going up there and we're doing different types of rides and we rode for countless miles and hours. But the original attraction was not me to Gabriel. It was, wow, this is the dude that's supposed to meet this horse, and let's go get some time in the round pen, and then let's get up to the mountains. And we do that with our program a lot, because we'll have clients come in with issues, and we will quickly be like, who's the best horse? Who's the best partner for this particular person? And when he says, you know, he kind of paved the trail for that. It's very true.
And Gabriel, a lot of people may not understand this, but those first few weeks, boy, you're just a raw nerve, you know? And I'm trying to give it a good analogy, because it's not anger. And if there is anger, it's at yourself. You know, you've reached that point where you've got no one else to blame but me. And so you start to look at some things that we haven't looked at before. And it does make you skittish, for lack of a better term, and kind of always looking for that hole in the fence, you know, where it's, I'm so wounded, I'm willing to just leave this situation as fast as I can. So when you first met your horse, what was that like?
Good question. Well, it's quite frightening, actually. I mean, it was extremely intimidating. You know, I mean, I grew up in Wyoming, so it's not as if it's the first time I ever, you know, was around a horse. But if you've never been around a wild horse, and some are more wild than others, but you know, I didn't grow up owning horses. I had no knowledge of horsemanship at the time, you know. And I believe my instructions were essentially just to see if you can catch him, you know, see if you can approach him, you know. And it was not so easy to do so. And I was in an interesting place, because you talked about early sobriety and being anxious all the time. And the hardest part about that journey for me had a lot more to do with identity than I realized. So I was always in a state, and I was in this state even having, you know, I've been through that. I've hit rock bottom more than once, I'll put it that way. But I was in a place where, more so than even when I had hit rock bottom before, I was just, I could not have answered the question, who exactly are you? Like, what exactly are you about anyways? What kind of man are you? And for all of my quote unquote accomplishments in life, which everybody has something, none of them did anything for me, and none of them made me feel any better about the mistakes I had made or the people I had hurt. And so you get in a round pen with that horse. And I remember after a couple of sessions with this animal, it occurred to me that, you know, he can't lie to me, this horse. And he doesn't speak English. I can't tell him that, like, oh, I'm not going to hurt you, I'm a good guy. Yeah. It doesn't mean anything to him. Whatever I'm going to say, I have to say it with my body and my body language. And I can't lie with that either. So now we're in a state where everything is raw honesty and reality. And I think it was the third session that we were leaving, and I told Madsen that, the most profound experience for me was the fact that I'm full of self-loathing and depression and hatred towards myself. And he doesn't care about any of that story.
Yeah.
He has no idea. He's asking me, who are you now in this moment? Can I trust you now? And I am forced to answer that question honestly. And so I have to tell him, and I have to believe it, that, like, you can trust me now. I am worth trusting now.
I don't mean to go off into the Thule's too far, but there's a question that I once asked myself, and I didn't know the answer. How do I like my eggs? Now, a lot of people might think that's a pretty easy question for someone to answer, but it was more in depth than that.
Mm-hmm.
Because what that meant was, have I ever really sat down and thought, what do I actually want to do? And mm-hmm. have I followed through with it? I really like how you touched on the presence. You had to be present, mm-hmm. probably on a level that you haven't experienced.
Absolutely.
Maybe for years at that point. And not being able to communicate with the horse except with your presence
mm-hmm.
really demands those actions, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Now, third session sounds like it was a pretty big one for you.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I remember it much more clearly than the first two, actually. And hell, I don't know how many sessions there's been, but...
Was this like an epiphany moment where you're just... It seemed like there was a clarity.
Yeah, well, I think I was a little more successful in my small goals that day. And so in leaving, I remember wondering why, you know, like trying to figure out what happened in that round pen that made a difference. And I'm a pretty cerebral guy anyway, so I tend to analyze things to death. And I had realized that there were small moments there where I thought, you know, maybe you can trust me. Mm. You know, maybe I can bring some value here somewhere, you know, and you start to have a little confidence there. And it's also a new environment to you, right? Or to, it was to me at the time, something I'd never done, never experienced, and I liked it. And that this idea that I think it might be more rare than you think that someone has anything in their life these days where they might look at what they're doing throughout the day. They might look at their past. They might look at their perceived future, and it might look a little bleak to them, but it's really something when you can look at your own life and say, yeah, you know, things, I'm not a huge fan of X and Y, and maybe how I spend my time isn't ideal, but I am the kind of person who can do these kind of things.
Yeah. And that moment.
Yeah.
When you thought, well, I think the horse realizes it can trust me, but
mm-hmm.
in your reflection on that moment, was it also the first time you thought, I think I can trust myself?
Oh, absolutely. And I had some respect for myself. It's a scary situation. You get killed in there if you're not careful. You know, and I think that I needed that.
Yeah.
I needed a little danger. I needed something that wasn't, you know, I tried talk therapy, you know, and it's no, I think I read somewhere that the average male anyways, if you go to one, there's about a 50% chance you'll never go again.
Yeah.
And I read that and I thought, yeah, that's actually low, that number. I'm surprised it's not more, like, because... You know, it's just, there's no, someone sits down and says, well, it's good for you to, we need to tear apart all your issues. And you're like, well, why? You know, like, this is, how does this affect anybody else? I'm keeping them inside. It's worked okay for me. At least so I thought.
Yeah.
But in there's real consequences, you know? And once you get into the saddle, they're even greater. And once you get into the saddle with a bunch of guys who you care about and want their respect, it's much greater. So now you're in a position where your internal state and your respect for yourself, your ability to manage your emotions and your state is, you know, it can get you hurt. That's a very unique situation. I think it's probably what makes the intersection of horsemanship and self-awareness so powerful is the consequences. I've never heard anybody talk about it, but I'm pretty sold on this idea.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems to be falling in line even as we...
I think so. You know, it's one thing to tell a man, hey, man, it's good. You know, we need to address these problems within you. And you're like, okay. But it's another thing to say, if you don't address these problems, bad things can happen.
Yeah.
It changes things.
Consequence.
Yeah.
On that, I got to take a quick commercial break. More with At Ease Horsemanship when we return. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan. We'll be right back.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Child Development Center.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
So I was recently informed and corrected that a semicolon is not the small intestine. And the same goes for you tuning up or fixing your own 4x4 side-by-side to get it ready for hunting, firewooding, or snow plowing. Because trying that yourself is like doing your own aspidectomy. Messy, painful, and not something you walk away bragging about. That's why you need the specialist at Hando Service Center. So skip the home remedies, get your rig in for a full checkup at Hando's on Sheridan's Heartland Drive.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Child Development Center.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Your toys deserve more than storage. They deserve Basecamp Garages in Buffalo. Luxury garage condos for tradesmen, collectors, auctioneers, or collectors. Secure, insulated, and customizable. Buy before September 30th and get a $5,000 upgrade package. Free. Think lighting, shelving, finishing touches. Don't just park it, Basecamp it. Call Marissa Stott at Caldwell Banker in Buffalo and claim your unit and your $5,000 bonus today. Basecamp Garages, where adventure is stored.
Doug, I took my dog to the dollar store and all I got was a plunger and a squeaky dog toy.
And then you should bring it to Waring Chevrolet starting October 1st. The same dollar gets you a brand new tire.
A whole tire for a buck?
Yep. Buy three, get the fourth for $1 starting October 1st.
That's way better than a plunger.
And it actually helps you down the road, Bob.
Oh, good one, Doug. Waring Chevrolet online, waringsheridan.com.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. This morning, we're speaking with At Ease Horsemanship founder, Matson II, and program graduate and peer support mentor, Gabriel Larson. Now, Gabriel, you recently participated in a wilderness drop camp. You spent solo time with Matson and the Mustangs up there in the Bighorns. What was this experience like for you?
It was profound. We took several guys up there, and I think one of the most profound parts for me was that I'd probably done, 500 miles, 800 miles on that Mustang at this point in those mountains, and every ride was transformative for me, the early ones most of all. You know, they were the most filled with terror. And yeah. And you'd leave those rides shocked that I never thought I could become the kind of person who could do that. And this time at drop camp, I was watching other men whom I respected and cared about immensely. You know, I guess we'd call them new clients. You know, they're just starting out. And they're full of that terror, and because it's a scary thing. It might sound strange to some people listening if they're local and they ride in the mountains a lot, but to the average person, to be on uneven ground at a good lope is a different thing. And these are guys with trauma too, and real trauma, and that ground. You know, we picked where we took them were a lot of the same trails, same mesas that I had shown up as my old self and left as someone else. So that was holy ground for me.
Yeah.
You know, really holy ground. And I thought that the most transformative thing about this program would be my early days that we discussed a minute ago. But I think they paled in comparison to what it's like to be the man in the middle, where there are masters there, you know, people who are truly spectacular horsemen and good men. And there's beginners there, and you're in the middle. And so I'm in a state where I'm still in a constant world of transformation, but now grown men whom I deeply respect are looking to me for comfort and for advice. And I'm checking on them, and I see the terror in their eyes when they climb a rock face on a horse. And I have to look at this guy who's 6'4 and 270 and no body fat and tell him, like, you're going to be all right. Yeah. Stay with me. I got you. That's a different thing.
That's powerful.
It was powerful.
That mentorship has obviously had a heavy effect on you.
Yeah.
Does this, because one thing I think maybe a lot of addicts and alcoholics out there will understand is purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're trying to claw yourself out of the hole that you've dug, you want purpose because it gives you driving motivation.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have that, it all just feels like it's not worth it because you don't see the value in yourself yet.
Absolutely.
Others are stepping forward and helping you along.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're the one helping those others find that value in themselves, helping others find that value in the world.
Yeah.
Does that help you find your own?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think about that a lot now. I'm becoming a real, probably kind of an obnoxious, what do they say, an armchair expert on the subject.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think a lot about how people could handle trauma and not just the kind that you get overseas. You know, I never served. And that's a strange thing. A lot of these boys did. And they've seen things that I could never imagine. And nevertheless, you know, I joke with one of our clients now. We spend a lot of time together. And I say, man, you're the only person I know who's as anxious as I am everywhere I go. And but I think about the way that they've tried to handle these issues on their own. And I think about the way culture addresses it. And most of the time, we're sort of told to handle it alone. You know, I mean, maybe with a therapist and maybe with your family, but God, I needed those other men around me bad. I needed the danger and I needed them there and all levels of it. You know, I mean, there was a real dynamic of, you know, there's social dynamics with men that are very important and very old. You know, this idea that to do something that frightens you and get through it is important, but to do it and earn the respect of other men is a very different thing. That's a very different thing.
Absolutely.
And so the group setting, I didn't know this when we started the program, but now that we've grown and we do drop camps, I think they're the most important part is the entire community. We're all in this together. If one of you makes a mistake, we all feel it. Like everybody's safety depends on you. That's a terrifying thing. And I think we need it.
It's terrifying, but it's healing.
It's far more healing for me than, you know, sitting and talking about my childhood or something.
Yeah. Madsen, I've run out of time with you guys, but if someone wanted to learn more or get involved, how do they do that?
Yeah, you can find us at all the usual places, Facebook, Instagram, at Ease Horsemanship, and at easehorsemanship.org. Like Gabriel has mentioned, we are an organization of peers, and that is critical. So come and get involved. If you feel like you've been through this journey, come help us and help others. If you feel like you need to start this journey, we're local in Sheridan. Look us up on the web, and we will respond immediately. We also have an event coming up on Wednesday down at the Buffalo Theater with a really cool Western Wednesday theme. They're doing a Robert Duvall film, and they've asked us to bring three horses down, three of the Mustangs. So we'll be down there on Wednesday. And we so appreciate the time, Floyd. We love coming in and chatting with you and spreading the word.
Well, I greatly appreciate you guys. And what time does that event start?
5 o'clock Wednesday.
5 o'clock Wednesday. Yeah. That's fantastic. Gabriel, thank you for coming in and being candid and honest about your experience.
Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure.
It's been great.
To meet you. Thank you. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about Sheridan College. That's right. Dr. Chris Erickson is here, the coordinator of music and music technology. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Child Development Center.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
When it comes to orthopedic care, experience matters. At Sheridan Orthopedic Associates, our team of board-certified specialists brings decades of trusted expertise to every diagnosis, treatment, surgery, and recovery plan. From sports injuries to joint replacements, Sheridan Orthopedics offers both surgical and non-surgical care tailored to your needs right here in your community. Choose the team that physicians and families have trusted for generations. Learn more about our team of experts at SheridanOrtho.com. Sheridan Orthopedics, expertise you can count on.
ERA Carroll Realty, Wyoming Corporate Office, and First Federal Bank and Trust ask you to help them fill the bus with food for the food group and the 700 school children assisted with weekend meals. It's as easy as finding the food group bus this Saturday in the Ridley's parking lot from 10 to 2 and donating a food item from the food list found at SheridanMedia.com. Cash donations are also welcome. Come on, Sheridan, help fill the bus for the food group, making a difference one kid at a time.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Child Development Center.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
People say, let's just get rid of livestock and grow crops instead. That's not possible.
We're really missing the bigger picture.
In a world without cows, we may be giving up one of our best tools to help heal the planet.
If we want to truly mitigate climate change, we need animals on the landscape.
How do we pull that carbon out of the atmosphere and put it back into the soil? That's where livestock come in.
Agriculture holds the key to saving our planet.
What really happens if you take all the cows away?
Are we better off in a world without cows?
A World Without Cows. Friday night's feature film at the 8th Annual Wild Film Fest in Sheridan, October 2nd through October 5th. See the full lineup and get your tickets now at wildfilmfest.org.
You're running a business out of your garage. And your office? That's the back seat of your truck. It's time to upgrade. A Shop-A-Minium is your own commercial condo, heated, insulated, powered up, and ready to work. Perfect for welders, woodworkers, side hustlers, and folks who need more than a corner of the laundry room. Shop-A-Miniums gives you a pro space without the landlord drama. Call Donna Garland at Sheridan Realty Associates and ask about Shop-A-Miniums today.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For a second part this morning, I'm joined by Sheridan College Coordinator of Music and Music Technology, Dr. Chris Erickson, renowned vocalist and Sheridan College alumni Beck Bridger, and the Associate Professor of Dance, Stephanie Koltiska. Good morning and welcome back.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is always fantastic having you guys in here. I love talking about these things, and I didn't even realize what we were going to talk about until I got your notes. Prism. we're here again. I remember writing the story for last year, and I thought, man, the time has flown. This isn't, excuse me, the first time you're going to do it. For those who may not be familiar, what inspired you to choose Yaz as the focus of this tribute concert?
Well, this is kind of a funny story. A couple years ago, my colleague, Dr. Eric Richards, had invited an associate to come and perform with his big band in the Whitney Center for the Arts. And the band's name was the Yaz Band. It's because the guy's name was Yazinski or something like that. And when I first saw it, I'm like, ooh, is there like a Yaz tribute coming? And then I found out it was jazz. And not that that was disappointing, but if you're a Yaz fan, that doesn't quite cut it.
for those listening, who are Yaz?
So Yaz, or Yazoo, as they were known in the UK, were a British duo that consisted of Vince Clarke, who was a founding member of Depeche Mode, and Alison Moyet, who's had a very successful career since then, kind of a bluesy singer, also kind of had a bit of a pop singer career as well. And they came together for a very brief 2 years, had like four standalone singles and two albums, and that was it. And one of their records went number one in the UK, but they were less known here. In fact, they had to shorten their name to Yaz for the US market because of the Yazoo blues label didn't like them using that particular name. And they became very influential on later, you know, synth pop groups. He went on to participate in Erasure. Yeah, that was the name of the group. And, you know, and again, she went on to this big solo career. So a lot of EDM artists have sampled and remixed their stuff. And they kind of flew under the radar a little bit. But I'm sure that if listeners come to the show, there will be a few numbers that somehow have seeped into our consciousness.
Yeah,
as a collective, I guess
they're in the zeitgeist. Yeah. We just don't know where they're categorized. Right, yeah. They're out there. Right. Now, the concert isn't just music; it's going to blend live performance, multimedia, original choreography. How does that change the experience itself?
Well, I'm drawing upon what we have done in the spring Prism concerts, where we've collaborated with Stephanie's students before, where it's not just about the music, it's about a multi-sensory experience. And I just wanted to be involved. You know, it's usually watching the students, which I do love, but at the same time, it's like I never really get on stage anymore. So
as a musician, you're like, boy, I'd love to be a part of this. So what steps have you taken to be more involved?
Well, aside from getting inspired to do the thing in the first place, I went through and I picked like a dozen songs initially, and we expanded that out to, it's going to be 14 songs now. I transcribed them. That is, I listened to them and wrote down. I have a score. I've written down every note of the recordings, and then I went through and this music was created essentially with, you know, a rack of synthesizers back in the old days, and a old computer, you know, that had the green black screens and stuff. Exactly. And so it's not humanly possible to play all of that in real time, so I had to create some backing tracks for the whole show, and then I spent the rest of the time on visuals. So I was doing this all, of course, in between, you know, teaching classes and stuff. So that's why it took so long to finally get going.
Late nights,
yeah,
late nights,
but fun.
Now,
I was gonna say, and he's being so humble because This show is long and it's incredible. If you've ever listened to any like electronic music, it's so complex, but he's recreated the entire set. So to come in and hear what he's done is just incredible. And I'm sure it's taken longer than, how long did it take you, Dr. E?
Like a couple years.
A couple years. Like, it's not just a backing track.
You didn't throw this together.
No, it's a huge thing. So to just come in and listen and also listen to the original tracks and hear what he's been doing, it's just been incredible.
Now, Beck, as an alumni, returning to the stage, what motivated you to go back? Or are you taking more classes up there? And I don't know.
I'm not, actually. But no classes, but definitely motivated to come back. When I was attending Sheridan College, both Dr. E and Steph were just huge inspirations to me, and I had been working with them for quite a long time. And by that, I mean maybe like 3 years, maybe Steph a little longer. So they've just been incredible people in my life who have built me up in my own journey of music. And so when Dr. E invited me to sing for this, it was a huge honor. And so I thought, I can't not do this. It's an honor. And he doesn't really do this a lot, you know, like he said he doesn't perform, and it's true. Like, I feel like this is such a great show, and it feels very full circle to come back, because when I was graduating, it was the COVID years, and we kind of had an interesting last semester. I didn't really get to do my full show or anything for my capstone project, and just felt like, I don't know, it was sad to leave kind of on that note when you were doing classes in your bedroom.
And you know? Worked so hard to reach this apex, and then the apex just isn't there.
Yeah, and so it was really interesting to kind of, you know, that's all that came from that, is just, you know, studying in my bedroom and having those like final classes and not really saying goodbye to any of my professors was just kind of sad, because I'm a people person and I really value that. And so after that, I went to the Army School of Music and I learned so much. And since then, I had also been on the Fox TV show and done some other pageant stuff. And so to come back and feel like I've learned so much from all the things that I've went and done, and now I get to be a part of this show and add everything that I've learned to this, has been really incredible, and also get to work with other students. It's very exciting.
Now, when it comes to electronic music, which Yaz is rooted in, what is that like to sing with electronic music as opposed to what you're traditionally used to singing with? This may be something a little different than what a lot of locals who know you well.
Yeah.
Maybe used to seeing you.
Yeah, so it's so interesting. I think why I love this show so much is that I actually really do love electronic music. When I auditioned for Sheridan College music program, I actually had produced my own little song, if you will, if it was a song, and played it for Dr. E and thought it was so cool. When I was living in LA, I actually recorded an electronic song. So this has been really fun to come back into that electronic kind of realm, because I have sang a lot of jazz, I have sang a lot of rock and classical and a lot of worship. And so I kind of feel like I'm coming back into that like childlike genre where I can just have fun and let go. And I think that's one thing that we can all agree about with this show, is that it gives you the permission to have fun and not really care about like the structure, even though you need to care about the structure and the timing. It gives us the ability to just kind of be free on stage, and that's what's been so fun about it.
It's not that pressure of having that big band behind you.
Yeah, there's definitely a different pressure, because Dr. E has worked so hard to get every cue, and he's also done visuals. So he created visuals for each song. So everything has been digitally created on his end. And then so for us live, like for me live to come sing, I have to make sure that I'm coming in at the right spot and timing everything correctly, or else then we're going to be really off. So, but you know, that's not going to happen, hopefully.
That's that positive mindset.
Yeah.
Right?
So
Steph, when did you get involved in everything?
Something's
happened with the mic. Doc, can you share that? Thank you very much.
I have to say that anytime Dr. Erickson asks me to collaborate, the answer is always yes. Before I even know what we're doing.
Hang on, we got something going on with our mics here. We'll share that center one right there. Apologize for this.
How's that?
That's much better. All
here
right,
I am.
Here we go.
Okay, I was just saying that anytime Dr. E asks me to collaborate, the answer is always yes, even before I know what we're doing, because we always have such a good time creating together. When I sat down, it was actually this summer. He's told me about it for the last 2 years. I've said yes for 2 years. And this summer, he brought me in to show me the visuals that he'd created and really listen to it. And I was feverishly writing notes with a huge smile on my face because I saw all these things happening. I was watching what he had created and listening to the music. And so it was really not till this summer that I started creating and having my ideas added to what he had already done.
You and I have talked about your creative process in the past, and I'm absolutely fascinated with it. I love having you on the show because I love talking about how sitting and listening to a collection of music can inspire you to choreograph, which a lot of people may not understand the difficulty mm-hmm. behind that, the choreography of it all. And now you're saying there was visual elements mm-hmm. on top of it.
Yeah.
So you didn't even have to close your eyes this time.
Oh, no.
You kept them open.
I did.
How long did it take you to sit with the visuals, listen to the music, and then kind of formulate the choreography itself?
I mean, sure.
You're jotting down these notes.
Yeah.
You've got these fantastic ideas. How do we apply them?
So for me, I can't really speak to every choreographer because their process is always different and unique. But for me, after sitting with things, I write a lot and I come up with sort of an overarching idea of what I want things to look like. And it shifted a lot for me, choreographically speaking, until I got the group of dancers that I was working with. And then the inspiration got even more wild and out of control because I have a crazy, beautiful group of dancers this year who their input was actually included into this show. So I had my bulk choreography created and these ideas that I was going to create on them in the moment. That's how I work best, really, is with people in space and this big overarching idea. And they started throwing ideas out there and I was like, yes, love it. Yes, love it. Let's do it. So a few of the dancers helped me actually make this more than what I even had in mind. So I feel super lucky and blessed that I had this group that was willing. They were so excited about it as well. And this is one of those shows that's going to leave everybody wanting to dance in their seat. And I hope that they do and leave with a huge smile on their face. So,
you know, when I pictured in my head, a lot of times there's like these sensory type overloads almost mm-hmm. when you go to certain concerts, you go to certain events. And I found myself once almost overwhelmed. But then instead of sitting there and getting tight and getting nervous and balling it up, I just let it go. Mm-hmm. And it was transformative.
Yeah. Yeah.
The bright lights, the loud music, the dancing that was going on around me, I had an epiphany. And it was almost as if, okay, I get it. Now I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before, there was almost some trepidation or some fear behind everything.
Sure.
And now I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
I get it. I know why. And all of a sudden I fell in love with dubstep. But it was just, it was something that had to occur.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of what I'm visualizing here.
It's definitely, there is so much to see and so much to hear. And I think that it's going to be really powerful, but I also, it's so fun to be a part of a show that's powerful in a different way. I don't know how to explain it. A lot of dance in my area can be really, thought provoking, almost deep and dark. And this is pure joy. I feel like there's so much behind it. There was so much effort put in those 2 years from Dr. E. And I tried to, put that much effort back into it, even shorter amount of time. But because it is such a fun show, I just couldn't wait to see it actually come to life and be able to have people leave with a huge smile.
Collaborations like this are a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
You get a lot more freedom with this.
Chris gives me lots of freedom. Yeah. Collaborations aren't always that free, but that's why I always say yes to collaborating with Chris, because a lot of times he'll give me free rein with whatever music he might have for a project that I have in mind. And I feel like we just worked really well. in collaboration, and it's always a blast. Being able to have our dancers perform with live music is a completely different experience, and I can't wait for them to get to experience it, most of them for the first time ever, dancing with live music on stage.
Calligraphy, music, even some visuals. There's a very tight precision with it. Doc, with this performance, with your prisms in general, when we look at those individuals who come to the show to watch that precision, that, wow, this person is at the top of their game. They landed that pirouette. They landed that. They hit that note. Now we've got artists in a room collaborating, having fun. The precision isn't really needed. Now it's about a creative process. Am I correct?
Oh, sure. There's still some precision needed, however, just to keep things...
Stephanie's not in her head yet. That's going on.
Better be precise, boy.
Keeping things in sync, but yes, this concert is definitely different than some of the more serious things that we presented in the past, that, you know, we do want everyone just to come and enjoy the spectacle and have a good time, and we've put so much effort into this that we're doing two shows. We're doing one on Friday night and then one on Saturday, so that if anyone wants more, because there's so much detail, I can't imagine like drinking it all in on one performance. So I hope we get some repeat attendance.
You've been working on this for 2 years.
Yeah.
One thing that I've noticed about you, Doc, you tend to work on things for a long time.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, a Star Wars performance that you did a number of years back.
Yeah.
And you worked on that for a really long time as well.
Yeah. And it's a little different than our Spring Prism concerts, where we've got essentially 2.5 months to put something together based on student originals. You know, that's a whole nother sort of creative set of tools there. And I enjoy that. But at the same time, it's kind of nice to have an abundance of time to really carefully put something together. And I think it'll be a little bit of a different vibe than.
I'm really looking forward to this. Tell me when and where I can see this.
So this Friday night, what is that, October 3rd, and this Saturday night, October 4th at 7 o'clock in Kinnison Hall in the Whitney Center for the Arts on Sheridan College campus.
And a fantastic location to boot. Thank you all so much for coming in this morning. I apologize for the microphones. I don't know what's going on. We'll get that handled. But it's always a pleasure having you guys on here and being able to talk to you about such an amazing process. Thank you.
Great. Thanks for having us.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE, 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Child Development Center.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
103.9 FM is News Talk 930, KROE, Sheridan. Broadcasting from the Dr. Bateman at Sheridan Ear, Nose, and Throat Studio on 103.9 FM.